Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art Beats and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Your body is unique. So why would you settle for a weight loss plan that's one size fits all? Noom is the weight management program that takes into account your biology to build a custom plan just for you. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com and check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Hello, and welcome to Good One, a podcast about jokes. I'm your host, Jesse David Fox. Remember in Aaliyah's Try Again? You know, from the Romeo Must Die soundtrack, when Timbaland says, "It's been a long time, we shouldn't have left you without a dope beat to step to." This is the opposite of that. I know it's been a while since we put out regular new episodes, so we wanted to give you something to tide you over while we work super hard on bringing the show back in a couple months. This week, we have, I guess, what you'd call a dope beat. With NBC's The Good Place wrapping up its run as the most interesting, formerly inventive sitcom on network TV, we have a panel from last November's Vulture Festival with Darcy Carden and Manny Jacinto, the actors that play Janet and Jason on the show. Good One tends to focus on writing, and if you haven't listened yet, I do recommend you going back to the episode we had with the writers from The Good Place, but in this case, it's nice to hear from the performers about all that goes into bringing words to life. I should note, like the writers panel, this live conversation was moderated by Mark Evan Jackson, the actor who plays the demon Sean on The Good Place, and is the usual host of The Good Place podcast. He does a bang-up job. I did book the event, so it's not like I did nothing. I also watched it, but ultimately, that is all I did. So, take it away, Mark.
Welcome, everybody, to the third annual Vulture Festival. I'm Mark Evan Jackson. I play Sean. Welcome to The Good Place's hottest boyfriend and girl not a girlfriend panel. Please help me welcome Darcy Carden and Manny Jacinto. You just shook hands like you're about to do a high school debate.
Who's hotter? Is that what it's called? Hottest boyfriend and girl not a girlfriend.
I feel as though this show is very progressive, right? To use the word hottest is something that the show does. Uh-huh. The show talks about outward appearance, and it's flattering, and it's also mildly problematic. And I feel like the show really does skate that line a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I remember, I don't know what the first scene was, where they gave Jason a very nice compliment, and it was Matt, one of our producer's assistants, it was like, "Hey, Manny, how much did you pay the writers to kind of put that little thing in, to sprinkle that little comment, and I was like, it's just going to be one time, it's all good, but no, it kept coming. Yeah.
Well, you kept looking like that. I think that's the issue, right?
It's cute.
It's cute.
It's cute.
So I asked the writers. I pinged a few of the writers and said, "Hey, we're gonna do this panel." Hi there. We're gonna do this panel, and I said, "Are there any insights into Jason and Janet that I should think about or know about?" Some of their input was helpful; others was not. Megan Amram wrote, "Mostly, I think we always wanted to make sure that they were a really well-rounded relationship, that it wasn't a female-presenting character, not a girl dating someone who didn't offer her anything." He always offers Janet a ton in terms of emotional intelligence and empathy. That's very sweet. Jen Statsky was not helpful. She wrote, "Darcy's husband in real life is named Jason. That's interesting."
True but not interesting.
True, but like...
Not interesting.
What?
Although kind of funny.
I love the dorks of The Good Place so much. Dan Schofield, the writer, wrote, sorry, this isn't a more detailed response, and then sent me a full-page single-spaced answer.
Classic Dan.
Which included the words, Jason and Janet wasn't a pairing that we entered into season one intending to pursue. It was something that we discovered as we broke the story of Janet's murder and reboot. Which is sort of fascinating that this wasn't something that was broken until episodes in.
That is interesting. Going back to Megan Amram's comment, that is something I remember Mike Schur and the writers bringing me in early-ish in season one and having that conversation, like, we don't want this ever to be, like, the smartest being in the world, right? Let's say, like, your typical, like, smart gal, like, dating down or, like, what is that? Like, down? What do you say? How do you say this? What I'm trying to say? Dating down? Going down? That's on you.
Thanks for coming, everybody.
Hi. What is it that I'm trying to... What is it?
Slumming.
Slumming!
Slumming.
Thank you. Slumming. Yeah, and you know, like, we see that on TV so much. Like, the very capable, well-rounded, brilliant, perhaps, woman dating, like... I don't want to say any names, but you all know who I'm thinking of. Do you? What? Like Cheers? No, I don't know. I don't.
What?
Know. Oh. No, I won't. We don't need to say names, but I just mean. Like,
I mean, you put it out there.
Did I?
Yeah.
It's no. It just is. It's like something we see a lot.
Sure.
Like woman dating down, slumming, whatever that is, whatever. And they just wanted to make sure that that's not what this is.
Yeah. I mean, I think they definitely just wanted to do something different and weird, and the fact that this should not happen,
but it
does.
But it makes sense.
Very, very special. And they're able. I mean, that just goes to show how incredibly talented the writers are.
Yeah.
They make this pairing believable.
Yeah,
you know.
And that was my fear when it was first introduced to us, is that you guys would be like, no.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
But you did the opposite of nah. You were like, yeah.
Yeah.
Which was so great for us. And it made it so much easier to, like, you know, it was freedom, sort of.
It really did, yeah.
Yeah.
So you watched The Good Place.
Yeah.
Are you caught? You're current, right? Conceivably? Great.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Is that a DJ Music hat?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
I thought I saw more than one.
That's pretty nice.
Is there another one?
I ask about your being current. If you're not, you're going to learn some stuff today that will disappoint you. Mike Schur texted me the answer. He said, we had a line that was cut from this latest episode, the one where Michael is in the magnet jail with Bad Janet, and they are talking the whole time. He said, it's our writer's room backstory for understanding Janet and Jason. Bad Janet says, how is Janet dating him? She's the smartest being in the universe. He thinks snow is dead clouds.
That's a good line.
Oh man, why did we cut that out?
I mean, the stuff you haven't
seen.
The stuff you haven't seen.
Yes.
Michael responds, compared to Janet, all human beings are essentially the same amount of intelligence.
Yes.
To Janet, there's no difference between Jason and Stephen Hawking.
Yes.
And Mike went on to say, we always like that as a way to explain how the two of them make sense and how they relate, that to Janet, all human beings are essentially ding-dongs.
Yes.
So this relationship is really purely about emotional connection.
God, I love Mike Schur.
Yeah.
That's it. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
She's not slumming. I mean, she's like,
right. It's
their somethings. They're like, I was about to say souls, but I don't think she has a soul. Whatever she has, it's something connected.
She might by now.
I know.
It's a lot of reboops.
What?
Reboops.
You said boops.
Yeah.
He's going with it.
Yeah, Darbs.
Reboops.
Yeah.
That's,
I love that.
She is getting closer to having a soul.
Yeah.
I mean...
I love her.
Yeah. I always talk about this whenever I get the question, how does Janet and Jason work? And my response is always, and I've thought about this a lot, like Jason, I mean, slowly is becoming a little bit more aware and intelligent a little bit, like through...
Yes, totally through Janet.
He's evolving a little
bit,
you know? And like through Jason, Janet is able to become more emotionally intelligent. She's, you know, feeling these things, whether it be good or bad, through Jason because... You know, that's what Jason is. He's all these different emotions that he can't tame. And Janet's learning that.
And it's
each other. They're kind of like evolving.
It's the thing that of everything that she knows, which is everything. It's the one thing that she didn't know how to do was feel.
Yeah. Right?
And now he's like with him. She's learning how to feel.
The the beginning of the connection, right, is after Janet is murdered and goes back to zero.
Yes.
Yeah.
And your two characters, I think, just say hello to each other over and over.
Which wasn't in the script, right?
Yes, it was.
Wait, is that true?
It was just...
I was just fooling around.
Yeah.
I was just effing around, and Darcy, being the amazing improviser that she is, repeated the words yes as well. So it was like, oh no, it was high. It was high. So then when Darcy was rebooted, she pops up in the corner or something.
Yeah. And when I say my AB Janets.
Yes.
Right? I know my AB Janets. Do you remember this? Do you remember this? Kristen, Eleanor is, I just revealed that Kristen plays Eleanor.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Delete.
Phone's down.
Yes. This is season one. Janet has just been rebooted, and Chidi is stomach aching about the fact that we ruined Janet. And Eleanor is like really trying to make it work, and she says she's fine. She knows her AB. What does she say? She says, you can recite the alphabet. And then Janet says, A, B, Janet. And then Eleanor, Kristen says, see, she knows her A, B, Janets. You remember the episode. Oh, man.
It was very sweet to watch you two basically being, you know, a couple of two-year-olds standing up in a crib going like, hi.
Yes, hi. That's what it was.
And,
hi.
Yeah, it really just started from there.
Yeah, it felt very natural.
Yeah, just...
Which makes sense, right? Because Janet had just been rebooted, so she's a baby. And he's as smart as he's ever been.
And will ever be.
Yeah. And so it makes sense that that's when they would connect. Mm-hmm. And he's in a very rough spot where, you know, he's feeling
alone.
Yeah.
I have nobody to really trust. And I just see this mild connection with Janet, you know? And I just say, hey. And
yeah.
Hi.
Do you remember... in another episode, when I sit down, I believe for the first time ever, next to Jason, and I say, people are asking me questions and I don't know the answer, and he says something about like a fire in a gas station, chicken wings or something.
Random, Jason Mendoza moment in his life.
Right.
And that's kind of how we connected. Like
he's helping her, and she's I don't know. It's
yeah. I don't know if this is true or not, but the times that you have sat down on the show, has it always been with me?
It would probably be pretty easy to figure out because it's only a couple times.
Yeah, so. I think both have been with me, and I feel very honored.
Ride or die.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Let's cue up the first clip. Let's watch some early. Janet.
Okay, and we're gonna look here.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to marry!
Yes. Yeah.
Yo, check it.
This is great. At different moments during our time here, both thought that tragic Mike over here was our one true love, and now he is marrying whatever Janet is.
I suppose you're right, it is a bit strange.
I'd like to read a poem. Janet, my digital queen. Janet, we can dare to dream. Send nude pics of your heart to me. Jacksonville Jaguars rule!
Jason, when I was rebooted and I lost all my knowledge, I was confused and disoriented. But you were always kind to me. And according to the central theme of 231,600 songs, movies, poems, and novels that I researched for these vows in the last 3 seconds, that's what love's all about. Does anybody here object to this marriage?
Of course we do. How could we not object?
Overruled. Jason, do you want me to be your wife?
Yeah.
I want you to be my husband.
Tight.
So, by the power vested in me, by me, I now pronounce us husband and wife.
We did it! Can I kiss you, or will I be electrocuted?
Only one way to find out. Woo! Yay. Get some! Go get it, girl!
I'm just going with it now.
Oh my gosh.
Cute! It's like a lifetime ago.
It's a different Janet, right? Like, it's Janet in the reboots has become far more human, right?
Yeah.
It's fun to watch and see... not that it was mechanical, but it's a different character.
A little mechanical. Like, yeah. I mean, a little, yeah, it's, she's just grown so much, which is like, I just, with every like evolvement, which is a word I just made up, but you
sure.
understand.
Yeah.
I have been stressed out about it. I yeah. keep getting stressed out that I'm getting too human, that Janet's getting too human. But this is like a good example. I just trust the writer so much.
Yeah. Sure.
And this is a good example. Like I remember hearing that we were going to get married and I was like, I don't know, y'all. That right. might be too cuckoo. And then then when we did it and we read it and I saw it, it was like, yes, that totally makes sense. So there's a couple things in season one where it worked so well and I wasn't sure if it was going to that I was like, I will go wherever you take me yes. from now on. So I'm good with it. Bless you.
This show is so stupid, and I love it so much. But, like, it's fun to rewatch these things, and did you do your own voiceover of, ladies and gentlemen, let's yes, get ready yes. to married?
Right? Yes, I did.
Like, that's this show is so dense and full of the dumbestness.
I love it.
Which is a word that existed before I said it. That I just love it. And, it's fun to watch Jamila and Kristen be like, bring it. Like,
yeah.
This is... Yeah. This is the craziest.
That is a nuts episode. It's deep.
What happens next? Like, maybe not next, but there was a time when Jason said something along the lines of, like, look, this happened and this happened. We did what I'm sure is pretty much close to having been sex, right? Like,
yes.
sex happens, and then there's a diagram of, like, attempts at yeah. sex at some point, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, we should get those framed.
I know.
Yeah. Honestly.
Josh Siegel told me yesterday that... someone had made a tote bag out of, or a t-shirt
of those really? Stick
yeah.
figures? Yeah, I would wear that. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah.
So, wait, are you asking us about sex? There's a child
just like,
here.
Hypothetically. Child. No, just like, they went to Mindy St. Clair's, I think, right?
Yeah.
And got it on, I
think? Yeah, yeah. Literally, what are you asking us?
Are you asking us to demonstrate, or...?
I'll move on.
No, but I mean, let's talk about it, baby.
No, it's just, in the evolution of their relationship,
yeah.
it stood out in my memory of, like, I remember Jason distinctly saying, like, almost
yeah,
sex.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was their first time. It's been, like, hundreds of bear me's. They're good. Yeah.
They're pretty good at it.
They're good. Although, don't think about it too much.
Yeah.
Let's roll the second clip.
I'm not sure what I would do if one more insane thing happened.
Hi, Jason. I love you.
Oh, word?
Word. I've been avoiding telling you. My excuse was that I needed time to evaluate my complex feelings, but that was just a rationalization. This might be the last time I ever get to talk to you, so there it is. I love you, and I hereby stop avoiding this topic and rationalizing it by saying the situation is complicated.
Or that my brain is grinding like a fork in a garbage disposal.
All right. Whatever. You're not really a part of this, Chidi.
Hey, guess what? I think I love you too, girl.
I'm not a girl. I'm also not just a Janet anymore. I don't know what I am.
If you just played a little longer, we could have watched.
Yeah,
we could have watched Will and Eleanor kiss.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah, really.
We could have. That is what happens immediately after that.
Right.
Chidi gets the gumption and he scoops her up and plants one.
Woo!
On.
God, remember that kiss?
Yeah.
Damn.
Actually, you've just reminded me, Darcy. I remember you saying, I think on the podcast or maybe in other panels, that when kissing Manny, you were like, I should remember this.
That's
like,
what I say to myself every time.
Yeah.
Right before Manny and I kiss, I go, remember this.
What? I didn't know that.
Just put it in the old memory box.
Sure. And then dab, apparently. Knowing it now, does that change anything for you?
Yeah, probably should have savored it a bit more, I guess. I feel like a jerk for
No, 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 no. We're all good. We're all good. I'm so much older than you. Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Anyways. So those sex positions.
There comes a time in the story when Jason and Janet are not together.
Oof.
Yeah. Jason and Tahani are together.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Painful.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For you on a personal level?
No.
Character-wise, that was something that that threw Janet into it. It was debasing. It afforded us a lovely gift in the form of Derek.
Derek.
Yeah.
Talk about Derek a little bit.
So, Jason Mantzoukas is
the best.
The best. He is like a insane genius. One of our favorite people to work with.
Yeah.
And that was we'd sort of heard about Derek before Jason was even cast. And I don't know that I couldn't even picture what it was until he was on set.
And then it solidifies, I think, very quickly, right?
It couldn't be anything else but that,
right,
you know? He just is, I mean, God, we had so much fun with Jason.
Yeah, he's just so unpredictable.
Yeah.
You don't know what he's going to do, and he's just perfect for that role. I can't imagine anybody else being Derek.
Yeah, he loves playing Derek. Another nice thing is we've all known him for a while. I guess you met him on set.
Yeah.
But he loved the show before he was on it, which is always exciting. Like, he knew it so well, and it was fun that he got to keep coming back until now. I know we said that we improvise that line, so now it's going to sound like we do improvise a lot. We don't improvise a lot. We really, really don't improvise.
It's rare
a lot.
On the Good Place,
We pretty much stick to the words exactly on the page. Mm-hmm. But when Mantzoukas is there, it's like we rip the script up and throw it in the garbage.
I mean, you can stick to it, but it's fruitless. Like, it's a fool's errand, for sure.
And it's funny because the directors and Mike, sure, they all know that, and they're like, yeah, just go nuts.
Yeah.
Do whatever you gotta do.
Ted Danson told me once that I think it was the first day Mantzoukas shot with you guys. It was in Michael's office.
Yes.
Mantzoukas is in a jumpsuit.
Yes.
He's, help, I can't stop saying Jason. Michael, Kleichel, Kleichel, Kleichel. And I think it may have been Dean Holland that was directing that episode. And Dean said to, after they did a take, he said to Jason Mantzoukas, like, do whatever you want. And Ted was like, what?
Yeah. We had not gotten that direction ever.
Yeah, that's a rare note. On,
God damn it, I wish we could release like a 10-minute or 1-hour-long cut of just Mantzoukas.
Yeah.
Like, even that day, that one day, his first day.
Yeah.
There, like,
he's got a fern in the corner, right?
One time he, like, climbed over the
desk. He couldn't get to the desk, right.
Okay, so his name is Derek. Derek? Oh, my God. Does he ever say this? Do you guys know this?
For sure.
My favorite one was, Michael's like, who are you? And he goes, Derek the Eric Hofstetler. Do you know that?
That's not in there.
Okay, that was my favorite. Derek the Eric Hofstetler. And it was like, Derek the Eagle, ca-ca. Like, he just had he had a different...
The one that lived was Derek Hofstetler,
P.I. That's right. Yeah. Derek the Eric really killed me.
That's pretty crazy. Why don't we roll a clip and join together in the interdimensional hole of pancakes?
Okay.
Hey, is this a good time to talk?
Well, there's no time like the present, and here there's neither no time nor the present. Go ahead.
So, you know how me and you used to be married when I was dead before? I think I'm starting to catch feelings again for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't double die in this IHOP and the judge lady doesn't turn you into a marble, do you want to try being boyfriend, girlfriend?
I'm not a girl. But yes, I'd very much like to go on a date with you somewhere sometime, as opposed to here, which is nowhere at all the times.
Yeah.
Those writers.
She says, do you get it? And he says, yes, which is a lie.
No, yeah. Like, getting a script that says that, I cannot explain what a gift that is.
Right?
You know what I mean? Like, that is not, the writers on this show are so good and dumb.
Yes.
That is not a scene that makes any sense. And I don't know, getting that in your inbox is like, you just want to thank the, who do we thank? Maya Rudolph's?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Lord.
I mean, it is crazy to think that what the show does really well is we're the very high stakes thing. This was, you know, you could fall through one of those holes. Chidi goes flying around the office. It's dangerous. We're nowhere. We're everywhere. There's a time knife, apparently. And it's, and yet you guys are playing a really touching relationship scene, like right in the middle of, you know, bedlam.
Yeah.
The show does that really well. It, I think it skirts those things, and I don't know.
We really, like, love doing scenes like that, too. You know, it doesn't, we don't get a ton of them.
No, we don't.
And so when we do, we really, I mean, it's like, when Manny and I get to do just, like, little two-person scenes. And by the way, another secret, there's a bunch that you guys have never seen and will never see. Isn't that sad?
Yes.
Why would you do that?
And why would I tell you?
Yeah.
I just, I don't know. Things like that we shot that then, you know, 22 minutes on air
minutes, 29
is
seconds.
Real quick, and yeah. Some things have to go. Yeah. And so sometimes our things had to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not in Frozen.
That's what I know her
yes.
from. That's what I know her from.
So anyway, but I mean, but the funny thing is that we still keep those things in our backstory, if that makes sense. Even if you haven't seen them, they're still a part of our story.
It still affects the characters. Mm-hmm.
So we, I don't know, we just really connected with these characters in this love story. And we, I don't know, we talked about it a lot and we were always very happy when we got to further our relationship.
I mean, honestly, my favorite scenes were always the one-on-one scenes that we had.
Me too.
It was always the best.
Yeah.
Guys, we're right here.
Okay. Remember this.
Support for this show comes from Art, Beats, and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Co-Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art, Beats, and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright. Exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within art, beats, and lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu.
Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Most weight loss programs focus on restriction and inflexible routine, which is why most diets fail. But Noom isn't a diet. It's a weight management program that uses psychology and biology to help you develop healthy, sustainable habits. Noom believes that weight loss starts with the brain, and their daily lessons are tailored to help users understand the science behind food cravings and eating choices. Whether you want to lose weight, increase physical activity, meet a health goal, or simply change the way you think about food, Noom can help you build healthy habits while still enjoying your favorite foods. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com and check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Has it hit you yet?
What?
That you're not coming back for school next fall? Oh, come on. Not news.
Occasional, like, it'll hit me. It's like hit me different times.
Yeah.
It hit me when Mike told us a year ago. It hit me, like, many different times on set. Mm. And then it hit me when we wrapped.
Yeah.
A couple times.
Don't.
Okay.
Keep talking.
All right. And then, you know, like, right now it's on TV, and you guys are watching it, so it still feels very like we're all in it together.
Right.
And I think it'll be pretty rough. I think the night the finale airs, I think we'll probably feel it pretty intensely.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, it hits me at different times. Yeah. Like, I remember being at the lot after the fact and going across Mike's office and, you know, all these little spots that kind of... is really a strong memory. Like when we all first met.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm gonna get hit like when April comes around, when we're supposed to
When you don't
to
go
be.
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, where did
you know which one kind of struck me as like a big, I don't know what this was, but we took our names, Jason and Janet, off of our trailers at the same time.
Yeah.
And it was like very sad. Oh, very it was very sad. It was like a painful physicalization of, of like ending.
Of saying goodbye, yeah.
Punching out.
Yeah. I have yours, by the way.
Oh, you do? That's where it went. Damn it.
Damn it, Janet.
All right, let's roll the final clip.
Okay.
Welcome, Janet. We have a special guest for you today.
Hi, Janet. It's me, Jason, your boyfriend. I really miss you. I know we were in a fight before, but I hope you've forgiven me because I love you, girl.
Not a girl.
That's cute.
The secret password. I mean, that's what the speech that you give Manny of, like, Michael said he doesn't have a thing he can say that would make us realize that he is him, but Jenna does have a thing that she does, that she can say that makes me realize that she is really not her.
Oh, man. You got it
down.
Yeah,
that was good.
Yeah.
I host a show about this. It's called The Good Place, the podcast. It's available places.
Do you guys listen, to the podcast?
It was fun to, there are things that have happened already in season four. That clip reminds us that there was a time that Janet was not Janet. Janet was bad Janet, pretending to be Janet.
Oh, that was hard.
And I mean, it had to be interesting on an actorly level to be playing these things, because there are things that seem like Janet's letting Jason in on things that Blake Bortles was cut by the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Right, yeah.
That's bad Janet torturing Jason.
Yeah, yeah. Right? I don't know. I mean, this is going to sound like a little hippy-dippy or actor-ish, but those like few weeks or month or so of filming those episodes where I was bad Janet pretending to be good Janet, I was not happy. I was like my brain was wrong.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I cannot wait until the episode where I turn into regular Janet.
Well, I can see that, because I would guess that in as much as you're saying, like, you trust the writers and you want them to, like, but they say you're going to get married, you're like, I don't know if this is right.
Right.
You want to stay true to this character and not have it, you want to make sure you're doing the work and being Janet and not just going like, I guess I'm human now.
Right. There was a little, like, I had a little taste of what Ted must have felt in all of season one.
Right.
Yeah. Where Ted is playing the long game. It's not like he has to trust the writers and the audience that we're going to stick with him and his choices and his acting and all of it in this character. And then the big reveal happens. I mean, when those first however many episodes came out this year, where I'm playing bad Janet, playing good Janet, I wanted to fast forward time. I was just they're gonna the audience that we love and that that we've like formed this bond with. We're lying to you guys, and it feels terrible.
Yeah, I can't imagine doing it on camera, like for the show proper. Darcy was with us for an episode of the podcast a few ago in season four, and right before it was with Andrew Law, and it was right before we recorded the thing. It was like, oh, hang on, wait. How much can we actually say about what happens on the train at the end?
Like not a lot at all.
It's tough.
I remember reading the script and how Janet says to Jason that Blake Bortles was cut. And when I read that, I was like, man, Janet's being a real bench. Right now.
I know.
Like,
yeah. Also, I do want to say that first episode that we shot where Janet and Jason break up. We had shot it as one episode. They cut it into two episodes.
Right.
And remember, we shot it as like sort of an hour long.
Yes.
Am I allowed to say that? I don't know. I did.
Phones down.
And I remember when we were having our breakup scene, you got the direction from Drew Goddard.
Yeah.
We kind of did it a little bit light. We did the breakup, or I think when we were rehearsing it, we did it a little bit lightly and in a funny way.
Yeah.
And Drew was like, actually, this is like, let's take it really real.
Yeah.
And show me the pain or whatever. And Manny just produced tears without even thinking about it. No preparation. We just did it. Tears fully. I was like, this man is an actor. I was so impressed.
You're
there
going, remember this. That actually reminds me of a story that Josh Siegel told me yesterday. Do you want me to knock this out? Shall I knock this over? Which was when you and Manny kissed, I think, for the first time, Lynn Shelton, the director, had to say to you over and over, Darcy, like, janitor, be janitor.
Right.
Like, stop enjoying this so much.
All right. I don't know about that.
Really?
Maybe. I remember it was in your butthole.
Yes, it was in my butthole.
And I forgot. I was thinking that that wedding was our first kiss. But it was,
it's wasn't. A very quick one.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Remember, it was like, we were like, it was in the butthole.
Oh, yeah, remember? It wasn't, because that, in the butthole
B-U-D,
was when
bud.
I,
bud.
Was I, You've seen was when
you kissed
I suggested.
Me in the butthole.
Yeah, was when I suggested that we get married.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
So,
yeah.
The butthole kiss was our first kiss.
Yeah. And I remember.
Now you're just doing it on purpose.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, it was fun kissing in the butthole.
Yeah.
A kiss in the butthole.
Yeah.
We're going to go to your questions. There are people with microphones. We'll answer some of your questions. Then we'll reveal how season 4 of The Good Place comes to a close. Yeah.
You're lucky to be here.
Yep.
Please remember that questions start with W's and H's and not I's. We know already, we understand that NBC's The Good Place has delivered you from dark times. It's done the same for us. So please keep your questions brief. Don't ask questions like, can I touch Manny Jacinto's face? Like,
whoa.
You'll bleed out. It's too sharp. When I had to do it at Demon Con, I was wearing the chainmail gloves of an oyster shucker and Need Noggle painted them
they
out.
They CG it. Yeah.
So please keep your questions brief. Who has the first question? Anyone? Please.
Hi.
Okay. Let's see. We want to look at you. Okay.
Front
right
center.
In my face.
On purpose. My question's for Darcy. It's yes or no. So I wrote you an episode of The Good Place.
Go on.
And I was wondering if I could give it to you or someone who is allowed to. Hand things to you.
I mean,
ordinarily, legally, that's something to which you say no. This show's over.
Yes.
You can put it through the metal detector.
No, I think there is a legal, like, you legally can't accept scripts because, but we're not.
What if the idea's crossed?
What if the idea then?
But the show's
over. That's what he's.
Right. What are they going to do? Fire us? You're a baseball player now.
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So should I?
She's gonna put it in the microwave. So if you're trying to like, if there's a tile stuck to it, she's gonna find out.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, this is happening right now?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Cool. Dramatic reading.
Yeah. Shall
yeah.
We?
Let's act it
out. Page one. Oh, there's a letter. Okay, we're gonna do this later.
Thank you. Next question.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
What have you written?
Don't worry, nothing. So in an episode of the podcast, I believe it said that the writers agree that Jason doesn't know what a farm is.
Oh, yes.
Are there anything else in your heads, something that Jason just doesn't know, something weird or random?
God, I love that he doesn't know what a farm is.
I think the whole time, I think he still thinks of this, at least in the first season. The way I approached Jason and the character was like, okay, he just thinks that he's in, like, a game, like an escape room game,
yeah.
And the objective of this game is to somehow, like, win but I don't know, he doesn't even know how to win, he's just playing a game.
Yeah.
So, like, he just doesn't actually know everything that's going on, but he's just having fun, and that's kind of like, he doesn't even know that he's in the good place. You know, he doesn't really know the basic premise of this.
At one point, things have gotten bonkers, and you go, I'm the last person to say this, but guys, I think we got to call the cops.
Yes. Like, yeah, the game has gone too far.
We need to call the cops. Where do you think we are?
Is that when she slaps a lollipop out of your mouth?
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question. Yes.
Hi, Daddy. Question about Sean.
Oh, here we go.
Does Sean have a backstory? I mean, is this God versus Satan, and is Sean middle management? Is he the boss? Who? What is Sean?
Make yourselves comfortable. Does Sean feel like middle management?
Yeah, really.
I mean, I think that, I mean, anything that I say will not be canon.
Right.
It's all, but Sean is God.
What?
Stick with me.
Okay.
No, it's, Sean, I think, is, there are other hierarchies within, the, like, there are other Seans, I think, right? He has peers.
Right.
I'm guessing, none of this is canon. But I think that, I don't know, it was fun to, my in-laws did not watch the show when it first came out. It took other people vouching for it. And my my father-in-law said to me at one point, like, I'm starting to hear about this. What is this?
Yeah.
Who do you play? And I said, well, I didn't want to spoil it. So I said, well, my character is introduced as the all-knowing judge in the afterlife. My opinion is an objective fact in all cases, past, present, and future. And he goes, God? And I was like, ish.
Yeah.
And he went, that's ridiculous. Like, he was like, that you're not capable of that.
This guy rules.
Yeah.
He's the best. And they've since realized, watched the show and come to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Next question, please.
I was curious because I feel like Eleanor and Sheedy have really learned a lot from both of your relationship of like how to take risks and how to like really love with their full hearts.
Hell yeah.
What do you think they or even the rest of the characters have learned about your relationship? And what have you learned about Eleanor and Sheedy's relationship?
Interesting.
I do think there's like a freedom and like an innocence with this relationship that I think, you know, Chidi is like the king of overthinking everything. So we've seen him. we've seen him, even in that clip, we've seen him watch us and then sort of be inspired to, you know, take a risk. I think...
That's a tough
one. I know,
question.
That is a tough one.
What has Jason and Janet learned from the Eleanor and Chidi relationship?
I mean, maybe Janet. Let's not.
I know.
Let's not.
I mean, it's.
That's a big ask.
I'm trying to think. Like, I'm trying to think if they have learned. I'm sure they have, but they are so in their own little world. This relationship is very the two of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that Janet has, like, taken in information. That's what she does.
You're being a little bit cautious, which you're right to do,
yeah,
and I can tell you
right.
That some of what you're asking is addressed in an upcoming episode. As soon as Thursday.
Thank you. You know it's really hard.
It's really hard.
It's really hard to talk hard, about this show yeah. when you guys haven't seen things because things happen.
The title of the episode that airs Thursday is already out there, and I'm not going to say it because it's so scary to work on this show and this podcast. I'm an episode ahead, and I'm frightened to death that I'm going to blurt. But I'm going to TED dance in this whole thing right now. Yeah, I mean, it's like our hearts pound about not giving stuff away.
Yeah.
But it is fascinating. Your point is a good one, I think, to say that, like, this rudimentary, this elementary relationship has been the model to show ostensibly more evolved characters how to go about it.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, these relationships have definitely informed my personal relationships, especially, like, with Janet and Jason. Like,
okay.
You know, to just stop overthinking things and just... go for certain ideas.
Manny!
How's your real love life going? Have you, Manny, like, for instance, did you get engaged recently?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah!
Next question. No, I want to know about this.
That's where I was kind of going with it because I was toying when to pop the question for a little bit. And
a
then
little
I looked
bit?
At, for a long time. And then I looked at, you know, the Janet and Jason relationship, and there was a sentence that I don't think we've gone through this episode yet, but there's a sentence that Jason says to Chidi about relationships, and I was like,
and it hit you?
It hit me pretty hard, and I was like, wow. Hey, I think this is a sign, this is something I need to do. And then I think a week later I popped the question. Yeah.
This is an unusual half hour of American network television. That's really lovely.
Yeah.
Briefly, will you explain how you proposed?
It's way too long of a story.
Not
it's
brief.
So long.
It's so not brief.
Okay, so me and my now fiance, we've known each other for a long time. We met as dancers, and we've known each other for a while. And I what I ended up doing was I took her to places that really meant a lot to us. So like where I first met her, where I first saw her, where we had our first date, where I had her first dance class. So I would take her to these different places.
Oh, and it was her birthday, so she thought it was like a birthday.
It was birthday, my birthday. Your birthday. Yeah. So then she just thought this was a cool thing to do for my birthday. Yeah. So she had no idea, and then I had these canvas things written down with a message saying why these places were important to us. And then at every location, I would have her close her eyes, I'd hold the canvas, she'd open her eyes, and she'd read the note. And then with the first note, I thought she'd be like, oh my gosh, that's so sweet, that's so amazing. But she was like, oh, that's cool. All right. I think it was because she thought I was going to pop the question at that point,
okay.
But she was a little disappointed that wasn't the question.
Oh.
So I took her through 5 different places. The last place, I had our families waiting, and when I had the canvas, she read it.
She closed her eyes, right?
Yeah, she closed her eyes, she read the canvas, and then after she read the canvas, she turned around and saw our family standing there and with the words, will you marry me?
Oh, baby!
Very sweet.
The only person that rivals Manny's beauty in the world is Diane.
Yeah.
They're the most beautiful couple you've ever seen in your life.
They're all right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question.
Okay.
Please.
Hi. My question is actually for Manny.
I can't see.
Will you marry me?
Oh, there. First of all, I know. It's hard to see. So you are one of the few Filipino TV male leads in Hollywood. Really great for Asian American representation. So my question for you is, how do you think diversity is moving in Hollywood?
It's a big question. Thank you for that question. It's moving. It's slowly but surely moving. I always say that I give so much props and respect to the guys before me who have had to kind of endure a different Hollywood system, but I'm sure a lot of you are kind of artists and maybe writers and actors. Like, this is a great time to be a creative and to tell your story. So tell your story, because it helps people see different faces, different cultures, and I'm a small part of everything that's going on right now. So it's a blessing to be a part of this show that kind of has all these different faces. It's if I really think about it, it's a lot of responsibility, but it's not just me that has this responsibility. It's kind of all of us. So I encourage you all to kind of push your stories and to tell your own story, because this is a great time to tell it.
A lovely answer. Thank you. We have time for a couple more questions.
If you could relive one day on The Good Place, and that was like your good place for eternity, what day would that be?
Okay.
Oh, man.
I'm gonna answer it quickly, but one is... Okay, I know what it is.
When we kiss.
Every single time. The night that we... Do you remember there was like a dance party? Okay. The night that we had the dance party was really a dance party for us, and it was so fun.
Yeah.
And it was like warm and a Friday night, and we hardly ever do night shoots, so it's like kind of exciting, and there was like twinkly lights, and Lord was blasting.
Yes.
And we just had a great time. That was a perfect night. There was another night, God damn it, you were there. Another night.
None taken.
Where we did Pictionary recently, and the like horse monster came out.
Oh, yeah.
That night was so fun. We love, love, love Brandon and Kirby and Ben, who played our other humans this season.
Yes.
And then the other one is the finale, which I won't say anything of.
Can,
but I mean,
but
can you imagine beating that?
No.
Those are definitely my top three.
Yeah.
That I can't. Whenever we're all really together.
Yeah.
Those are always the best moments.
Yeah.
As our characters and as us. Yeah. As human beings. So.
What do you think?
I mean, the ones that come to mind are upcoming.
I know.
Which is problematic.
Yeah.
When I got to.
Wait, say again.
Oh yes.
Wait, what?
That was awesome.
Wait, what?
You'll see.
No, I was there.
I don't know if you were.
Okay.
It'll be worth it when you see it.
But I would say the finale, like, could not have been more special. What? Don't talk about it?
No, I mean... Okay. You've already revealed too much.
I know. Would live in the finale for the rest of eternity.
Yeah. Yep.
Meet back here in 3 months.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about all of it. I mean, it's... Oh,
no,
God,
stop.
God, it's hard. I would say that the one thing that is talk aboutable is just getting to know all of you and become friends with all of you.
Yeah.
It's said of every show, and it's often bullshit, but this show, it's real. Like, this show's a family. I care about these people. I love these people. It's a given on some other Mike Schur shows. It was this way on Parks and Rec. It's that way on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. But I was never on Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza... it's not always that way.
We spend time with each other outside of work. We put our phones down when we're at work and hang out with each other. Yeah. We love each other.
I was recently working for 6 weeks up in Vancouver, and Manny and Diane gave me a lot of good restaurant recommendations, which is great. Go to Vancouver, it's great.
Yeah.
But Ted Danson is up there because Mary Steenburgen is working on a television show. So Ted is up there with nothing to do before he starts his next project in January. And we would, like, walk his dog and go to lunch.
Yeah.
Like... I feel like Simone. I was like, I'm in a coma, none of this is real. Like, what is my life?
But I mean, that is your life. That's just what it is. We love each other. We want our good place to be with each other. But the real answer is we just want to hang out with Ted.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the best.
Any place where Ted is.
Yeah.
A question or two more before we reveal the how the... NBC's The Good Place comes to a close.
Hello.
Hey. Hi. This is a question for all three of you. What real-life similarities do you share with your characters? For example, Manny, do you actually love jalapeno poppers?
Great question. First question. What is a jalapeno?
What is it?
What is a poppers?
Actually, fun fact, the first time I tried jalapeno popper was on set.
Oh,
what?
So, yeah.
I don't think I've ever had one.
Yeah, I've never...
What?
Yeah, it wasn't a big thing. But I mean, you know, the dancing aspect of Jason is very neat. Like, I remember when we had our first meeting, he asked me what my interests were, I told him I'm a big, I love to dance, and yeah, we incorporated that in. And that's the best thing about Mike. He wants to showcase, his actors and his little family as best as possible.
Yeah.
So that was, was really close.
I think for me, with I am kind of like a people pleaser. Uh-huh. What is Janet? I'm like, I'm nice. I don't know.
And I'm a naughty bitch. No, you are. I've told this story when I met you. I came into the hair and makeup trailer my first day knowing, not knowing enough, being overtly confused about what was about to transpire. Mm-hmm. And you were like, oh, wow, you're playing Sean. You're going to have questions. Like, you were Janet. You're like, hi there. You're going to have questions. Come to me if you need answers.
That is who I am.
Yeah, I
like,
know.
I am, I don't know. I don't know what that is. I don't know what you would call that. Annoying?
No.
Okay.
It's you. It's nice.
And then, you know, sometimes I can be like a dark little, bad Janet is not. I'm somewhere in between bad Janet.
Comes from
Janet.
Somewhere.
Yeah. All right. I don't know.
I suppose one last question, please.
Hi. So this is a question for Darcy. In the episode where everyone goes into your void and you have to portray everybody else's character, like, who was easiest and most difficult to portray in that?
I loved playing Jason so much. Like, I could have played Jason for season 4. Like, could have just switched outfits. I loved... The hard part was that it was, like, really... It wasn't like I would live in Jason for the day. It would be, like, a half hour and then go to Tahani and then go to Eleanor. So I didn't get to, like, settle into it. But damn, I loved playing Jason. It was so, so fun. Manny had defined this character so well and so clearly that it was, like, easy to play around in. Also, Manny... like, very graciously, and this was wonderful. Before we shot that, he he kind of took me aside and was like, I have a thing that I watch that I've never shown anyone or told anyone that helps me get it, or helped me create Jason. And he's like, if you want, I'll show it to you. And he showed it to me, and it really helped.
Let's roll that clip.
So that was like, that was an extremely like wonderful, kind, unnecessary move, and I appreciate it so much.
What? Yeah, exactly. What was the clip?
No, it's a secret.
I know, but like, is it on YouTube?
It is on YouTube.
Find it, baby.
Manny, you've dodged this for 4 years now. Is Jason Mendoza based on a singular person?
I mean, I don't know. Can we play that?
Do you want to?
Maybe we could. I don't know.
What?
The YouTube clip?
The YouTube clip?
No.
I don't
know.
Yeah, I guess this is not like...
You're making the stage manager's heart pound
all of a
so bad right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
No, do you... I mean, truly, is it one person?
It's not one person, but the video that I showed Darcy, it is one person.
So yes.
And no, just a small aspect of that.
Invite us back next year and we'll show.
Meet here in months.
Yeah. Yes.
We'll have it prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Oh my God.
I don't know how to do this. Dan Schofield, one of the writers who I pinged for insight into this, into this panel, summed it up well, I think. He also wrote, as everyone even tangentially connected to the production knows, you can't say enough about how truly wonderful both Manny and Darcy are. While lots of audience members love Jason, they probably don't truly appreciate the skill and energy that Manny brings. Playing dumb so perfectly is not easy. And so many of the most hilarious things he has said and done never even made it to the show. Nobody can destroy at a table read like Manny can. 4 seasons in, and we were still discovering strange new angles on Jason. The episode Janet's really gave Darcy a chance to kill it, which was super gratifying as a writer, knowing that we could write something with a crazy high degree of difficulty, and that she would not just nail it, but surpass your expectations. Vulture Fest, please join me in thanking Manny Jacinto. Yeah.
That's it for another episode of Good One. The series finale of The Good Place airs on NBC on January 30th. Good One is produced by me and Art Chung with production assistance from Jelani Carter. Justin D. Wright did our theme song. Write, review, and rate the show on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars, please. Email any comments, questions, or laughing around suggestions to goodonepodcast@gmail.com. I'm Jesse David Fox, and you can follow me at Jesse David Fox. We'll be back next month with all new episodes. Have a good one.
Support for this show comes from Art, Beats, and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art, Beats, and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within Art, Beats, and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu.
Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Why do you run? Why does anyone?
I always thought that runners loved running, and that's not the case. Most runners hate running, but they choose to do it.
In the new docuseries, Running Sucks, brought to you by Teen Milk, Abby Ayers learns why women runners everywhere are driven to go the distance.
It really is about taking my power back and proving myself wrong.
Teen Milk is about fueling women's performance and helping them along their marathon journeys. You can sign up now for the inaugural Every Woman's Marathon taking place in Savannah, Georgia on November 16th, 2024. Learn more and register at everywomansmarathon.com.